Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of A Teaching, A Song, and A Poem. Thank you for listening, and as always, thank you so very much for your kind and generous support of the show. From me and Jenny and Chris and Nicole and all the folks, well, that's really all the folks here at One You Feed, we thank you for your support. Today, I am going to finish the fourth part in a four-part series about taking refuge in the three jewels of Buddhism. In the first episode, I just sort of explained what refuge was, you know, saying that it's a place we can go for shelter, for support, for strength, and then explained what each of the three jewels are, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And in the next two episodes, I talked about what taking refuge in Buddha means, what taking refuge in Dharma means. So if you haven't heard those previous ones and you're interested, you can go back and listen to those. Today's is taking refuge in Sangha. And Sangha is pretty straightforward. It's a fancy word for community or other people. I think it was in the first episode, I talked about how when I came back to AA the second time, I had to find something as a higher power that I could believe in. And really, the AA group was the easiest thing for me to grasp onto, right? The Sangha of AA. That's not what we would have called it, right? We would have talked about it being the AA group. But just the idea that with other people, with the support of the people in the program, that would act as a higher power for me, that that would be enough for me to get sober. That was really one of the fundamental ideas. And AA, they actually have a little cute acronym. They've got lots of cute acronyms, but they say sometimes you can take God as your higher power, and God being an acronym for group of drunks, right? The people in the meetings. So in this way, very early on for me in my recovery, it was the people that were so powerful. It was to walk into a group and hear people share in these really open, vulnerable, and powerful ways that it just blew my mind, and it was so helpful. And even today when I go to an AA meeting, I almost tear up every time because there's so much beauty in the sharing that is going on and the support, the cheering for people who have a day sober, a month sober, a year sober. I just find it so heartwarming and so encouraging. Now, it's been harder for me outside of AA to find Sangha or community. I found it in a couple men's therapy groups I've been in, and I've recently feel like I've begun to develop it through my Zen group, even though they're based in Boulder, Colorado. But since we've all been driven to Zoom meetings, I've gotten to really know those people really well, and it's my first sort of Buddhist Sangha that I felt really close to. And so that's really been wonderful for me. But Sangha doesn't have to be a formal community either, right? And so I certainly have a community around me. There are my friends, Chris and John and Steve and Joe and Bela and Ken. And so I've got my friends, I've got Ginny, I've got my family, right? Sangha can be lots of different forms. It doesn't have to be a formal group, but there is something particularly powerful about a group that comes together and meets around a common purpose. It's part of what I'm so excited about with our Spiritual Habits program, not to turn this into a Spiritual Habits commercial, but last time around, we had some groups that started meeting that are still meeting now a year later, and some really deep friendships formed. And I'm as proud of that as I am of anything that we've done with The One You Feed this whole time. It's to create that sort of community of people who are supporting each other, practicing together, using a common language that the Spiritual Habits gives us. So Sangha is a really powerful place that we can go to for refuge. Now, in the previous 2 weeks, I talked about there being different levels of taking refuge, right? There's an outer level and an inner level, right? And in this case, I think the outer level is pretty obvious. Sangha is just community, other people, love. It's pretty straightforward. On the innermost level, it's slightly done a little differently. And we talked about one way of thinking of Buddha would be to say you could think of Buddha as emptiness, as the unity that underlies all things. And you could think of Dharma is another word for forms, all the forms that the world takes. Well, if we want to be operating at that level, in more of the absolute level, right, then Sangha would be considered the unity between Buddha and Dharma. It's the place that Buddha and Dharma come together. They meet. Emptiness is form. Form is emptiness. That meeting is the Sangha. So hopefully this series has been helpful for you. And what I'd really encourage you to do, whether parts of this were helpful or not, but it can be really helpful to sit down and think about, like, where are the places I go to for refuge? Where are the places I go to for strength and support and that sort of higher power idea, the places that can help me when I need that extra help? So I think it's really worth taking time and thinking through that exercise. All right, on to our poem for this week. Before I go into the poem, I'm going to say that Chris and I have been doing this really cool thing. We've been doing it for about 7 or 8 days now, and we write haiku together. So each day, one of us starts off with the first 5-syllable line, then the next person does the 7-syllable line, and then the other one does the 5-syllable line. And then the next day we just switch, you know, whoever started the day before, the other person starts. It's been really fun. I'm not going to claim any of them are genius. I'm not going to start using them as poems in here, although maybe I will at some point. But more than anything, it's just a fun little creative practice that we've really been enjoying. All right, this poem is chosen because it's springtime. Spring is my favorite season. Well, I love fall too, but I think I like spring more now. I'm becoming more optimistic in my old age. I prefer the rebirth over the just about to die phase. So I love spring. This poem is by Jack Gilbert, and it's called House at Midnight Without a Moon. Our heart wanders lost in the dark woods. Our dream wrestles in the castle of doubt. But there's music in us. Hope is pushed down, but the angel flies up again, taking us with her. The summer mornings begin inch by inch while we sleep, and walk with us later as long-legged beauty through the dirty streets. It is no surprise that danger and suffering surrounds us. What astonishes is the singing. We know the horses are there in the dark meadow because we can smell them, can hear them breathing. Our spirit persists like a man struggling through the frozen valley, who suddenly smells flowers and realizes the snow is melting out of sight on top of the mountain, knows that spring has begun. And finally, our song this week is by a band, The Go-Betweens. We've played them once before, but they're not on nearly enough. They're not listened to in the world nearly enough by my take. I think Chris would agree the same. And this song, keeping to the spring theme, is called Spring Rain. So this is from The Go-Betweens. I bet this song was released, boy, I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say sometime mid to early 80s. So it's fairly old. Spring Rain by The Go-Betweens. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support of the show. And we will see you next time. Bye.